Welcome to Curmudgeon's Corner for Monday, June 14th, 2010. I'm Sam Minter. I have Yvonne Bo with me as usual. Hello, Yvonne.
Yeah, hello.
So before we actually get started, I just wanted to make one note that I think we should do this time. And I don't know your thoughts on this, Yvonne, but I think we have once again been getting a little bit long-winded. And we had been trying to stick to 4 10-minute segments. And
what did we do the last time?
Well, I think we had like 1 20-minute segment, and then, I mean, we stuck under an hour total, but like we went on and on and on about like the iPhone data plans for like 25 minutes.
We're a couple of windbags. I mean, let's admit it. I mean, come on. Look, I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, yeah, I mean, you know,
so,
okay,
so
all right.
So I'm thinking we stick to 10 minutes per segment, we take a break, and then we move on and we talk about something else, you know?
Okay. All right. I'm sure our listeners are so thrilled by our conversation at this time. Sure. We'll try to make better. There
so,
you go.
Anyway,
okay.
Like, just to start out, Yvonne, you had mentioned right before the show that you had actually, for I guess a week, boycotted BP. Tell me more.
Okay. Let me explain what happens. Okay. I go usually my way, my veterinarian is somewhere like, about 10 miles from here. And the normal route, that is the shortest route to get to there, if I need gas, the only really accessible gas station that's really like really super convenient is actually a BP gas station.
Okay.
And this week I hadn't gone to the vet in a few months to pick up stuff. I usually have to get food or pills for my dog or something. He's always has to take one of these, you know, I have him on a special diet because my dog's allergic to everything. So anyway, so I always have to go pick up the food. So I called this week to get some of the stuff and whatever. And yesterday I was going to drive to pick it up. Mm-hmm. And as I'm driving, I'm realizing that I'm low on fuel, and I'm like, oh, fuck. I said, oh, the hell with this. I'm not stopping at BP. I'm like, I drove so far. I really had to drive way out of my way in order to go to another gas station in order to fuel up, because I just could not bear to go to fucking BP to fill up my car. Okay.
So this wasn't even making the decision that, hey, you know, there are all these people trying to organize to boycott BP. Maybe I will, too. This was just you, like, spur of the moment saying, I don't want to go there.
Yeah. I just said, I'm not going to go there. I mean, it's just nothing going to happen. I got to admit that over the last few years, I've been avoiding, prior to BP, Citgo, because it's owned by Mr. Hugo Chavez, who is a fuckhead, okay? And I just, you know, can't bear to send money to that fuckhead, you know, every time I could buy gas there. So I had been avoiding Citgo. So now I'm winding up avoiding BP.
Why don't you just go all the way, Yvonne, and avoid gas?
If I could avoid gas, I'd find a way, but I haven't found a good way of doing that.
You could ride a bike.
I mean, I got it. I could ride a bike, but I will tell you this, that I've ridden down towards that area there. It takes quite a long time to go there and back by bike. It's 20 miles back and forth. There are certain sections. There's a number of sections that are bike-friendly, but there's a certain number that aren't, okay, at all, mm-hmm, to get there. And so, not such a great idea.
You know, I've thought about those kinds of things. It is about 11 miles from my house to where I currently work, and I could bike that. I've biked more than 11 miles in the past, although I will admit it's been many years. It was like when I was living in New Jersey for a while during the summers, I was like, I was taking some healthy length bike rides on the weekends. It's been forever.
Is it flat?
No.
On your way to work?
This was what I was going to say. This is the problem. It is approximately, I live on a hill or in a neighborhood that's on sort of a big hill. So the first step for me would be to head down from where I am, approximately 400 feet in elevation, down to essentially sea level, to go across the bridge. There is a bike area on the bridge. You know, and then up around over an island again, and then back down again, and then up on the other side, up a hill to where I work, and then of course reverse all that on the way home. So if it was 11 flat miles, it might be actually not that bad, but it's 11 miles of hills.
Now forget that. I mean, my to my vet, it's 11 flat miles. I mean, it's not such a big deal if it were just driving straight, or going there. It's just not that bike friendly, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've got certain routes that are bike friendly that you can go to exercise and work out. It's just to that destination, no. Okay, just doesn't work. So anyway, that was my thing. I
could never see. I mean, for the most part, boycotts aren't really super effective anyway as sort of a political tool. But, you know, as a method of expressing your own disapproval, I guess, okay. But speaking for myself, I would never have the presence of mind and discipline to remember and think about it all the time. Like, you know, if I need gas, you know, first of all, I suck at pre-planning that. Like, you know, I should be like, you know, oh, I'm a quarter a tank, I'll go get gas, blah, blah, blah. No, I'm always getting gas when I'm, like, below the E, you know? And then I'm, like, pulling over to the first thing I see. I don't care what the hell it is, because I need freaking gas, you know?
Well, I will tell you that the fact that with Citgo, especially down here in South Florida, with so many Venezuelans that have moved up here, there's such a dislike for Citgo that on the turnpike, that used to be Citgo in all the gas stations, and we got rid of Citgo. They changed it to Shell, okay? Mm-hmm. Because nobody wanted to – I mean, people – really annoyed and complaining about the fact that the frickin' turnpike stops were Citgo gas stations. People were getting really mad. And so they finally switched to Shell like sometime last year. So, you know, I think that, you know, boycotts do have a certain effect. I mean, I was just reading, and we could go a little bit into South Africa and the World Cup a little bit on that. When South Africa, at the turnover from apartheid at the time, because of all the fucking boycotts, the country was fucking bankrupt.
Well, I'm going to add to that, though. Those weren't just boycotts. Those were nationally sponsored embargoes and sanctions that were aided by it being illegal to do otherwise. When I say
but
boycott,
began,
I'm thinking
but
a bunch
began,
of...
Yeah, no, but it began. It began
yeah,
with,
yeah,
like...
Yeah.
But like companies deciding not to invest in South Africa and disinvestment and certain things that started mushrooming into that. So what I'm saying is that, you know, it can. I mean, if enough people get together and they decide to do so,
only,
and it's persistent over
I'll
a period of time.
Only if it's government backed. I mean, frankly, you know, none of these things that are just like people doing whatever make a damn lick of difference.
Well, I think I will disagree with you on that. I would say that maybe on a large number of them it doesn't, but I think that on certain specific things it can have an impact. So,
I still will say, however,
besides,
I would never have
would
it.
Never, you would never. Well, you would never remember anyway to do it.
I would
so,
never
anyway.
Do it. I mean, I'd be like, you know, I need bread, and I'll go to the bread store or whatever, and be like, oh, this one, buying this bread supports dictators and the tearing apart of children. Oh, but it's yummy.
Well, but, oh, come on, but that's a little bit, okay, all right, I see your point. On most of them, but like I said, on most of them it's not effective, but on some I think it is. I think that BP has become a big enough of a target that right now if people just said avoid going to BP to buy gas, I think that most people would remember that fucking logo for BP right now.
Yeah, perhaps, and I think part of it, of course, has to do with how many substitutables there are, how easy it is to just buy
right.
something else.
And there's plenty of substitutables for BP gas, okay?
Yeah, now, however, a number of people have pointed out specifically on BP, however, that, you know, first of all, like a number of the stations, most of the stations are owned by independent contractors. And of course,
yes, I know.
And where they
make
the money anyway is not
the poor guy, right.
It's not the, they don't make the money on the gas anyway. They make no money on the little convenience store that's attached to it, you know. And so if you are boycotting BP gas and not going to their little convenience store, then you're not screwing the big international conglomerate of BP. You're screwing that guy who owns that gas station.
Yeah, I know. I know. I thought about that as well. But you see, here's the problem.
Of course, the way
the gas station makes most of the money at the store inside.
That's what I was going
to
say.
Go to the fucking store anyway.
Well, I was going to say the way to solve that is buy your gas somewhere else, but still stop there to get like a drink or something.
Sure, if I was going to go get a drink, I probably wouldn't have a problem stopping at it. But I'm not going to go there. Now, I will say that in all probability, I know that what I'm doing is just stupidly symbolic, and it's just really just that I'm disgusted with it, because BP, you know, one of the things about it is being a gasoline refiner, they also sell gas to a whole bunch of other stations that aren't labeled BP
anyway.
They're probably buying it anyway. So
okay, it's time for a break. Let's take a break. We'll be back, and when we get back, we'll talk a little bit about Japan.
All right.
Okay, we're back. And when we were talking about the topics in advance here, you know, obviously we're going to end up talking about all the Apple announcements from last week, but we'll do that at the end. Yvonne had some other topics, and one of them was Japan, and I'm like, oh, okay, something happened in Japan? I don't know. So, Yvonne, tell us what's going on.
Well, okay, so you don't know what happened. Okay, well, another prime minister in Japan, which is not, like, uncommon, resigned this week. You know, this has been, I mean, for the Japan for, let's see, how long? More than 50 years had been led by a party called the Liberal Democratic Party. And I mean, and they had a lot of prime ministers resign over the years from that party. But last year, they ushered in a new party called the Democratic Party of Japan, which got to the leadership of Japan. The new prime minister promised a lot of things. One of them was to remove the American military base out of Okinawa. Okay. Now, they went back and forth on this, back and forth, first said yes, first said no, first said yes, first said no. In the end, they figured out that they were screwed, that they really had no real alternative to moving the base out of Okinawa, and so they said they was going to stay. The people flipped out, and the prime minister, which I guess didn't even last a year, resigned. So another prime minister comes down in Japan, which honestly, I think it probably over the last 20 years, I think there have been 20 prime ministers resign in Japan. So it's not like exactly it's such a big event. But the one thing about this is just that Japan over the last 20 years, after the huge economic miracle, the huge boom, I think if you remember like 20 years ago, everybody saying, oh my God, Japan's going to take over the U.S. They're buying everything. I don't know if you remember all that xenophobia going around about Japan. And then for the last 20 years, Japan has just floundered around and not done shit. Nothing. I mean, okay. You know, it's been quite a downfall. I mean, their economy has not really grown in 20 years. And the national debt of Japan right now has reached about 130-140% of GDP. I mean, the Japanese government is indebted almost twice as much as the U.S. government is, okay? The difference in Japan, okay, versus us is that the Japanese public is so frugal, okay, that they can fund almost all of that debt with savings of – with they don't have to borrow money externally. They can do it with internal borrowing. But
with Japanese people buying their own country's bonds.
Bonds, so, yeah. Right, pretty much. But still, anyway, I mean, you know, you've got a country that is debt to GDP ratio is at 140%, where there's been no growth in almost 20 years, where there is freaking almost no freaking prime minister can stay in power for longer than a year for a continuous 20-year cycle. I mean, Japan is really in a freaking just in such a bad situation. I mean, it doesn't seem to get out of it. And it's just such a shocking turn when you think about it, you know, how 20 years ago people were so scared about Japan. Oh my gosh, they're going to take over the world. They're going to take over the U.S. Bop, 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 bop. And I remember, I think that back then, 20 years ago, I was speaking about this to somebody at some point, and I said, you know, things change, economies change. You know, I don't think that the power that right now is powerful may not be later. And lo and behold, I don't know. Did you think that Japan, if you looked at it when you heard those things 20 years ago, did you think that they could just fuck this much up in 20 consecutive years, I guess? Or did you not give this much thought, I guess?
I honestly probably didn't give it that much thought. I mean, if we were talking 20 or maybe 30 years ago, I'd say a lot of it was, if I was thinking about these things at all, you know, I was sort of thinking about how, you know, the US and the Soviets would probably bankrupt each other and then somebody else would have to rise up and take the place as the, you know, leader, leading the world in various things. And, you know, that isn't quite how things played out either, you know.
It did not.
But I think fundamentally, you know, the basic point here is that what people tend to always do is extrapolate current trends, and that is right. Almost never correct.
And I guess the reason why I'm bringing it up a little bit is also because I think a lot of people are so fearful about a rising China right now as well. And they talk about it almost in the same terms as I saw people talking about a rising Japan 20 years ago. And one thing that I see, and I don't know if you've seen over the last couple of weeks, has been a number of strikes and other things happening in China which hadn't happened before, is that China can't continue to grow just like Japan at the same time without – if it doesn't structurally change certain things that right now, okay? Japan used to try to export everything and there's no internal consumption. The reason why Japan hasn't grown over the last 20 years is because the Japanese are so frugal that they don't they save all this money, but they don't activate their own economy, and they've got demographics that suck, okay? Mm. It's a very aging population, and there isn't a lot of young people in the population. China has also got a demographic time bomb in their hands because of their one-child policy. While at the same time, I mean, they can't just, you know, count on just exporting and not internally producing, which would mean to raise wages to workers right now and not pay them the kind of pittance that they pay them right now. I know that Honda in the last week went and like they had a strike that went on for 3 weeks, and apparently they replaced the workers with others. But I got to tell you that that's not a good long-term strategy. I mean, I think that, you know,
you also had Foxconn increasing wages by a significant amount,
right?
In response to their little suicide scandal.
That's right. And they have to pretty much double the wages of their employees right now. It's still a pittance because they're paying these people $300 to $400 a month. I mean, plus housing, plus food, plus this, that. Maybe it'll add up to $1,000 a month. But I'm sorry, but, you know, people can't fucking live on that. I mean, it doesn't matter where the hell you are. I mean, not to the living standard that these people are looking at, that they are looking at through a window and seeing – these people living in this living standard, and they want to claim, why the fuck can't I have it? So anyway, I guess that's the reason why I was bringing that up. That interesting.
And, you know, one side of that is, of course, all of these people who are busy manufacturing various goods for the West, of course, see those goods every day and say, you know, hey, it would be cool to have one of these myself.
You think? You know, what's like?
And you know, we're talking everything from, you know, iPads to everything you buy at Walmart, you know?
Sure. These people want these things. I mean, you know, what the hell? What, you think they're just robots, stupid? And he's just sitting in front of there like, oh, yeah, I just, you know, I just pushed out the 1,000 iPhone, you know, G4s, and I don't want one? I mean, come on. So, anyway. All right. So that's why I was bringing that up. I don't know. I don't have anything really more on that that subject.
But... let's take another break. We'll be back. Talk a little bit about the World Cup, and then we'll finish it up with Apple stuff. We'll be right back.
This is the Curmudgeon's Corner Poem of the Week, brought to you by Notel Motel. To obscure a body of light, by Kim Young. How the girls love to believe in celestial bodies, in summer and ice, in bright disks of light. The abductor is a human creature. The creature burns like a star, raging white, a constant light. The girl's dark hair parted to the side, a young girl disappears. Not in parts, not as night. The problem is not absence, but a blinding summer light. The girls like dark rail ties, set down on dust so bright. The abductor winds to a stop with a pistol in his lap. Imagine such a wreck. Not the act, but the smell of gasoline. Not the shape, but a glare blazing without meaning. How the girls' bodies grow, longer and darker as the earth rotates toward twilight. The orange ball falling below the horizon line. How the girls love to believe in night, even in the white of his eyes, the whine of his machine, a single face illuminated by dashlight. For more like this, go to notelmotel.org with a new poet each week and a new poem every weekday.
Okay, we're back. I hope you enjoyed your poem of the week.
Woohoo!
So now, I vaguely know that this World Cup thing is going on. I gather you've been paying more attention to it.
Well, I've watched almost most of the games so far. I mean, yeah. Yes.
Or I listened to them at least. Sporting event. I mean, more yes. People pay attention to this than anything else, even though Americans tend to be a little bit behind on this one.
We may be somewhat behind, but the coverage this year has probably been the best coverage in the U.S. that I've ever seen, period, right now. ESPN is doing wall-to-wall coverage, showing all the games are being broadcast on TV, whereas before that didn't happen, in years past. I can't remember if 4 years ago they were, but I know that in other years past, not all the games were being broadcast.
Are they doing live, or are they doing some sort of delay thing?
Totally live. No, totally live. Totally live. They even have, there's an iPhone application for you to follow the World Cup, and it allows you to listen to all the games as well on the iPhone. I got that little application so I can listen to the games at work. Since it's 6 hours ahead, a lot of the games are happening while I'm at the office. So, one of the things that used to be in my old job, since everybody was a World Cup fanatic, there was no problem. There was always a TV with a World Cup on in any office that you would work, and most of the work stopped during World Cup matches. So,
you've got a sling box. You could watch video without that.
My sling box died.
Your sling box died? Okay.
It's dead. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I tried fixing, I don't know. It just would not work anymore. Something happened to it.
Okay.
I don't know. Slingbox dead. Kaput. So, I don't know. And I haven't bought a new one. So, no, I'm just listening. It's cool to listen. I mean, I'm good with listening to it. Okay. I don't have a problem with it. So, so I follow it, on the computer. It's no big deal. But I think the one remarkable thing about this is just that probably not coincidentally, they were playing recently the movie Invictus. And I don't know if you got a chance to watch the movie.
I have not seen it. You mentioned it last week a little bit.
Right. And the one thing about it is just that, so right now with the World Cup starting, okay, it was just seeing how – I mean, I think given how almost every other African country is such a disaster for the most part, not all of them, but most part. And seeing the fact that South Africa has managed to forge ahead to be able to even host an event as a World Cup, not that they don't have any problems, because they sure as hell have a lot of problems. But I think that in between all those problems, there's also a lot of hope and a lot of dreams and a lot of optimism, okay, at the same time that the people have. You know, I was just looking at there was a report on South Africa that I was just reading that, for example, I mean, South Africa used to lead the world, like, in murders, for example, and they've managed to cut the murder rate down by 50% in South Africa.
Okay.
50%. I mean, we're talking huge numbers. We're talking about being able to get childhood education, 7th through 12th graders, which they were a disaster bringing it right now. They've got 100%, bringing it close to 100%. We're talking about a lot of things like that which are having meaningful impact on people's lives, you know, across an entire country, especially in a continent that has been racked by so much civil war, racked by so much violence, racked by so much bad stuff, okay? The fact that you could get these disparate groups to be working under together and to bring that kind of improvement to the people in general, I think it's pretty remarkable. I don't know. And yet you, for example, hell, you spent time down there in Africa, but, you know, because I've never been, but I know that, you know, in Mozambique, and you know how that situation still is. I mean, you know, better than I do that.
I'd say, and you know, honestly, this is one of those subjects where, you know, my parents are somewhat experts in the area, and I am very much not, and have not paid that much attention to it. I would say, though, that you may be calling out South Africa, but actually the trends in a whole lot of areas have been positive. The trends in Mozambique have been extremely positive. They had, you know, they were further behind to start with. So, but
well, that's true.
Are many countries right now, if you compare the number of places that had active conflicts a decade ago or 20 years ago to now, it's a much calmer place than it was. And that's not to say that there's still not all kinds of problems in all kinds of places, including South Africa. I mean, like, you know, you generally have seen some improvement in a lot of places throughout that continent. And, you know, for that matter, honestly, throughout the world. I mean, it's very easy to get caught up in a lot of the things that are negative trends right now. But, you know, there are a lot of places, if you look worldwide, that were in long-standing conflicts that are just not going on anymore. I mean, you mentioned last week you talked for a couple minutes about Ireland. That's calmed
yes.
down.
Yep.
As I was just mentioning, there are a bunch of places in Africa that have calmed down. Yugoslavia, the former
yep.
Yugoslavia, there was all kinds of stuff going on there.
Yep.
And I am just doing this off the top of my head, so I'm going to miss all kinds of stuff. And yeah, you know, but the point is, there was a lot. It's always very easy to remember only the bad things, or remember only the bad things about the current situation. But you know, there are a lot of positive trends in the world.
That is, I'm totally with you on that. I agree. I mean, one of the things is, like, people don't realize, for example, last year Brazil, for example, I think it was last year or two, the middle class became bigger than the poor in Brazil. It represents that's a significant achievement, okay? And there's a lot of countries in the world where there is a movement in that direction where, you know, people are coming out of poverty in a lot of places that used to be in just absolutely wretched living conditions.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. So, wow, we talked a positive note about the world instead of everybody trying to blow their brains out. Cool. Okay.
Excellent. So, on that note, okay. We probably should take a break. Yeah, it's we're a couple minutes early, but good enough. Let's leave it on a positive note. The world is a wonderful
yes,
place.
Yes, positive note.
You know, things are going
okay,
in good directions.
There you go.
Okay, we'll be right back.
We got problems, but we can deal with them. There you go.
Okay. We'll be back, and in the meantime, everyone can watch some football. And we'll be back with some Apple stuff. Hold on. Trouble.
reference account information.
Okay. So, Apple. New iPhone.
Apple.
And some other stuff. But mainly new
iPhone. I decided that I'm going to buy, like, I'm going to buy three of them.
Really? Okay. You're well, upgrading everybody.
Three, okay,
plan?
It's not three for myself. It's because, you know, I'll get one for my wife and for my nephew.
Mm-hmm.
I think I like the new iPhone. I really like the new iPhone.
It looks pretty cool. We are is probably, honestly, I want one. I want to get it now, but I will probably wait till the next time my phone dies.
Well, that will be soon. Anyway,
I mean, like, you know, I don't even have a GS. I have a G, so I'm two generations behind at this point, and I'm getting frustrated by a few things that are slow, and I'm like, I can't do this, I can't do that, this is a new feature, blah, blah, blah. You know, even some of the new, I guess it's now iOS, the iPhone OS has been rebranded because it also supports the iPad and who knows what else in the future. But there's some features of the new version of that that's coming out soon that won't be supported on the G, on the 3G.
Well, multitasking I saw is not really supported on the 3G.
Yeah, so
only on the 3GS. So, I can sell you my old 3GS though. You want to make a deal?
Well, maybe we can talk about it. No, but you know, in general, like, my phone upgrade plan, with very few exceptions in the past, has been driven by the old one doesn't work anymore. It's not worth fixing. Let's buy the new one.
I like the display. I got to admit, I didn't realize that they did that, where they put that super high-res display.
Yeah,
You know, that in and of itself is one of the reasons why I would like to get it. Now, I gotta admit that, you know, if I get, maybe I will get one. I said right now that I want to buy them, but you know, maybe I'll backtrack and I'll only get, like, maybe, you know, I don't know what I'll do exactly.
Get
because,
one for yourself, you know, and test it out before you give it for your family.
Well, yeah, because, well, the reason I'm saying that is because one of the things about it is that a lot of the features that are in the new phone, except the cool display and the video camera, and the better camera, are, you know, come with the software update, which I can get to work on my 3GS.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I it's just, you know, I mean, if I get one, it's just because I'm just being a freaking, you know. Now, I may get Now, there is one thing. Given how much I've been talking on the phone lately, that is one reason why I was actually inclined to just right away get one, at least for myself, because the talk time is a lot longer.
Well, no, yeah, talk time is longer, but also
better reception.
Better reception
of the way
of the
design.
Way the antenna is, and we know,
right.
We have talked in the last couple shows about how you talk on the phone and I don't. I will just point out that today, I received two phone calls within the span of 30 seconds from people who actually, like, wanted to talk to me about one thing or another, and I just did not know what the fuck to do about it. You know, because first of all, like, the first one originated as a text, and I was, like, walking the dog. So it was from my sister, and I told her, look, she had a computer problem. I'm like, you know, I can't really text right now because I'm walking the dog. Why don't you give me a call? And then between when I texted her that and
then,
when she called me.
Oh my God, she actually called.
No. Somebody else called me before she did in that, like, 2-minute span. And so then I'm on the phone with the other person. And then my sister calls. And I'm like, oh, crap. What do I hang up? Do I switch? Do I blah, 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 blah. And so she went to voicemail. Anyway. And then I'm, like, juggling these two phone calls. And meanwhile, like, I'm out, like, you know, I was with the whole family. We were walking the dog and going to, you know, there's a little strip mall place that's, like, 1 mile away. So, like, often we walk the dog there and back and, like, you know, stop somewhere while we're there. And so we were doing that. And so I'm talking to these people on the phone and, like, not paying attention to the people around me because there's someone on the damn phone. And I'm like, you know, if they'd only emailed me instead, you know. Anyway.
Well, you know, one of the things about it is when I get calls some days, I mean, I will be on back to back to back to back calls.
Yes.
I mean, it's like, I am talking to one person, another call comes in, so I'll be like, oh, I need to hang up with you. There's somebody else calling. Click, go. And then during that call, somebody else, I need to take this call. I gotta go. I mean, click, go. Edit, click, go. I mean, or like, oh, wait, hold on one second. Let me go back to this one. Click. I mean, I'm like, it's nutty, the number of calls I get. It's just nutty.
So anyway, like, just to go through real quick, because we don't want to spend a huge amount of time on this, but to run down the new phone.
One thing I'm disappointed.
Yeah, tell me. It's
32 gigs only? 32 gigs? Why couldn't they make them 64?
Well, I mean, obviously they do have the iPod Touch with 64, so they can do it.
Why didn't they put 64 gigs?
Well, because they'd have to put one at a third price point. They couldn't do it at the same price point. I think that's the key.
I would have gladly played $399 for 64 gigs.
Yeah, well, anyway, so
Steve, if you're listening to our podcast,
which I'm sure he is,
I know. Well, you know, they've got all the trolls over there checking everything that we put through the Apple Store. You know, so yeah, 64 gigs. Come on, man. Give me a break. You know?
So, but look, let me run down the stuff. We got FaceTime, which is the new video chat, which, you know, I tell you.
Oh, yeah, I'll be using that every day. Not.
I'll tell you where I'm disappointed by that. Look, I'll tell you, this is the only use I have for video chat is basically, you know, showing the baby to the grandparents. Okay, that's the only real time.
Well, that's
use
a good
that.
Thing.
You know,
if I were single or I were a teenager and I'd like to have sex chat with my girlfriend, I guess that could also work.
There you go. So now the disappointment here is it's only iPhone 4 to iPhone 4 for the moment. They have open sourced the standard that they're using, so theoretically other people will be able to pick it up. So I expect that will happen. It's just a question of when. I mean, people want to be able to use this thing with Skype. People want to be able to. The obvious omission is, why can't I do this from iChat AV to the phone?
You know. Oh, and speaking of that, about Skype, the other day I logged onto Skype 2 days ago, and it's working over 3G.
Yeah,
they added a little announcement.
They added that a while ago.
No. They said it, but they hadn't actually activated it.
They activated it about 2-3 weeks ago.
Why the fuck didn't you say anything about that?
I didn't know you cared. I don't even use Skype on my phone. So anyway,
loser. Okay.
But yeah, they actually released it a little while ago, and there was a little bit of a mini furor because they said it's free for now, but they plan on charging for it later.
Yeah, they plan on charging for it later, which is what the message said, which I was thought it was weird. But anyway.
Anyway, so we got the higher resolution display, which you mentioned. The multitasking, of course, comes with the
the video thing.
Oh, better camera, and they're going to have iMovie right on the thing, so you can do all kinds of video editing and stuff right on the phone, which is, I got to admit, pretty cool. I don't know how often I would even use that, but the fact that it's even available is just cool. Because what it does is, you know, it means the people out there, like covering an event or something, can like do their little recording, throw it together, upload it to YouTube, all on the fly, all on their phone.
Yep.
You know,
all on their phone. Yeah, I know, it's pretty fucking amazing.
Not to mention there are other services that you can use to broadcast live as well, like Ustream and stuff. You can do that even from my 3G phone without the S. You can broadcast live on the internet straight from your phone, the video, which is pretty cool. The video chat, of course, has the front-facing camera. Let's see what else. Anything else? Most everything else is about the software, which the 3GSs are also going to get. But, you know, it's better battery time, a slightly thinner. It's flat instead of round. You know, I kind of like the round.
Well, what do you think? Know? You don't like the round?
No. I kind of liked the round. I'm not sure.
That's one thing. I gotta admit, I like the round. I'm kind of like a little bit like, I don't know. I have a feeling that this will be a little bit, it was comfortable in the pocket when it's round.
Yeah. Well, and you know, the other thing is, you know, they're talking about how it's a little bit thinner, and look, it's already pretty thin to start with, but the cheat is it's probably actually got more volume inside it because they got rid of the round.
Right.
But, you know, so they're packing more in, they've got more battery. Anyway, all kinds of cool stuff. I've heard people drooling over this thing. When you get it, I'll be very interested to hear your firsthand impressions. I'm sure I'll see some in person soon after they come out as well. I'm drooling over this thing too. I'm not going to run out and get it. But until a phone dies,
I am going to get at least one. Mm-hmm. Okay. I am going to get at least one. Well, you see, I got to get my nephew at least. If I at least give him my wife's 3G, so I can put my wife my 3GS, then at least that'll be okay. Because my nephew's using still this piece of shit Samsung phone that I had last year. Yeah. The one I kept bitching about. If anybody listened to our podcast last year, so what I kept bitching about. Well, he's got that one. Let's just say it's not really a great phone. I mean, the poor kid is just really miserable with this thing. He's using it because it's what he's got, but it's really a turkey. I mean, I still don't understand how in the world I weathered for I don't know how many couple of years that they made me use Windows mobile phones. How the fuck I managed to live with those pieces of shit. Now that I got my iPhone for the last 6 months, I'm like, my God. I mean, it's they're so painful. They're so awful. So
yeah,
anyway,
yeah. All right. And the only other things I should mention that came out of WWDC. I guess people were expecting potentially a lot more than just the phone, and people were like, well, we saw the phone already because it was leaked, but, people were expecting, an announcement about, on iTunes that streamed from a cloud. People were expecting free mobile me. People were expecting maybe a new, iPad based Apple TV. There were a lot of those kinds of things that just didn't happen. People at first were like, they thought there was going to be Safari 5 in the keynote as well. It was not mentioned in the keynote, but it was.
But it's
released
just released
that day.
It
was released right. That same day. I've been using Safari 5 for a little while. I like it. The two main features that I think are really relevant. It's supposed to be faster and stuff too, which is great. But it's got this reader feature where if you're on an article page somewhere, you hit the little button and it sort of takes the actual text of the article, including multiple pages, if it's on multiple pages, and just shows it in a light box without everything else and fades the rest of the page out so that you're not distracted by the navigation, the ads, the everything else on the page. And that's kind of cool. Honestly, I will probably very, very rarely use it because I do almost all of my reading in Google Reader anyway. And then the other feature is extensions, which is one of the big things that Firefox has always had that Safari hasn't, which is basically developers can write these little things that add new functionality and you can install them and blah, blah, blah. So I've been using a few of those, and like it so far. So like I've got a little Google Reader extension that has a button straight to Google Reader with a little icon on how many, unread articles I have. Another one that does the another thing that Firefox did that Safari doesn't is if you quit or the browser crashed and you reopen, bringing it back up with the same tabs that you had when you quit.
Right.
I have one that's doing that. I had for a little while. I don't have it active right now. I forget why I turned it off. But an ad blocker thing. There was another that would do. An Amazon search bar and other stuff like that. There's another one that adds like a button so that you can save like YouTube movies directly to your hard drive easily. You know, a bunch of stuff like that. Useful additional functionality. I'm just sort of still trying it out and seeing what's useful and what's not. And I suspect there will be more that are useless than there are that are useful. But it's interesting stuff to try, and it's one of the things that that had been one of the big things that had me liking Firefox for a while. I went through about a 6-month period where I was using Firefox instead of Safari on my Mac, And that was before they released Safari 4. Once they released Safari 4, I went back to Safari. But this was still one of the missing pieces there. So, you know, good little piece of software. Another thing that they didn't mention at all that a number of people sort of seemed concerned about is, the next version of Mac OS after Snow Leopard. There still hasn't been a peep out of Apple about that. And so people are like, where is it? You know, because, you know, Apple had been on a schedule of pretty much releasing one of these on a fairly regular basis.
But Steve had said that he was slowing down that schedule when they released Snow Leopard.
Yep.
I do recall him saying that. So I guess I wasn't that surprised that there wasn't an announcement about it.
Apple had essentially pre-told everybody that there wasn't going to be anything about Mac OS at this event. Yeah, still people are like, where is it? And of course you get, now that Steve Jobs is answering mail like 10 times a day, there was one of those mails where somebody said, you know, are you forgetting about the Mac? What's going on in the Mac? And he said, you know, just wait, you won't be disappointed, you know, or something along those lines. So,
well, another thing that Steve talked about, and he didn't say it at the WWDC, he said it actually at the D conference. He said it at the D conference, which, I don't know, a couple of years ago I had almost gotten my tickets to go to the stupid conference. I don't know why I haven't been to one of these. But anyway, I went and I'm like, he did talk about extensively about TV, okay? A lot of people took the remarks that he talked about TV that he's probably going to try. It seems like they're trying to cook up something, you know, beyond what Apple TV is, which he calls it a hobby, okay?
Yep.
But that they haven't really fully baked it yet, okay? But that they are certainly cooking up something related to that. He didn't want to go into many details, but he talked about the model. He talked about the problems. He certainly, you could tell that he had given it a lot of thought.
Right.
A lot of thought. But they still haven't been able to fully bake it yet. So we'll see what happens with that. That may be something interesting coming down the pike.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, this is another one.
Especially given the Google TV announcements that happened a couple of weeks ago. So I think that given how the hyper competition that's happening between those two guys,
The bottom line here is this kind of mode. They haven't figured out the right way to do it yet. But I think it's inevitable that the distribution of this kind of content is going to end up being something more like Apple TV than it is like, you know, your cable and satellite networks today.
Right.
You know,
agreed.
I mean, fundamentally, the problem with those networks is you pay for all kinds of crap you don't watch, you know?
Right.
And the sort of tiered levels and, you know, this is, you buy exactly what you watch, no more, no less. And I think that's, you know, and distribution, you know, obviously not everybody's going to go through their computer, you know, and that's why something like an Apple TV or a Google set-top box, or if TiVo ever got their act together, something from them, you know, to ease that transition. But still, you're ending up with something where you're going to be like, you know, I want show X, I want it every time it comes out. And maybe I pay a nominal fee for that, or maybe I pay like some kind of subscription fee that gives me X amount per month of whatever.
And he talked about specifically, you know, you mentioned TiVo, and he talked about specifically about them. He talked about them because, you see, if you see TiVo's successful period was when they were partnered with a carrier, DirecTV. Mm. That was a successful period. When that alliance with DirecTV went the way of the dodo because Rupert Murdoch wanted them to use their stupid shit software from their fucking piece of shit provider up in the UK, well, you know, TiVo really ground to a halt.
Yeah.
I mean, it really did. And they did not make another partnership with any other major other carrier, and therefore, that's it. TiVo just did not go anywhere. And, you know, and that he talked about that specifically, that, you know, the problem right now is a problem with the carriers, because the current model, because you can make the whatever the greatest frickin' separate set-top box, but if Comcast doesn't want to really sell it along with their service, then you're really shit out of luck. There's no business model for it. you can't make any money.
Although I think part of that is the infrastructure still isn't quite 100% there to completely bypass those content providers. Once it is...
No, it isn't. Not at all.
But once it is, that's going to change that dynamic entirely. Like, I really see, like, something like Comcast, in the end, is going to be a bandwidth provider.
And that's right.
They're not necessarily going to be a content provider in the same way they are now, where you're buying channel packages from them. You'll be buying bandwidth, and then you'll go get the shows you want. You know, perhaps even, like, all of these intermediary layers, the networks and all of this kind of stuff is, like, you know, the middlemen are going to get screwed in the end because the technology is now enabled so that the actual producers who are making the shows can get it to you directly.
Right.
You know, there's no need for all of this other intermediate layers. And there's certainly no, and you know, one of the things that people are scared about, I guess, in certain areas, I mean, there really is no need for like local television stations as they exist today. Because the only thing that you need the local station for is the local news.
You want local content.
You want the local news. You want the local content. But that's it. You don't need them as a redistributor of national content.
Right.
I agree. And right now, that's where most of their income comes from, is ads on those national shows.
That's right.
So they're fucked, you know.
Well, yes, you know, I guess it just depends on how you change your relationship, I guess. I mean, if that relationship changes to where this station is no longer really the content distributor, but what they become is basically a sales and marketing arm for local advertising?
That's fine.
And the local news and the local whatever information you want to provide.
It's just as with a lot of these people who primarily make their business as middlemen right now. That market may be a lot smaller than the market they've been used to.
I mean, if you think about some of the local shows, those local shows don't just extend to the news, but for example, you have a local sports team, so they have local sports cover, you know, they have sports show, they have local this, local that. It turns into, but it's certainly a lot smaller market than reselling advertising on, say, House, okay? Right. You know, why the hell do I need a local company to resell the advertising on House? I mean, if I can map down that Sam Minter lives in zip code X, and I want to make sure that he, when he watches House, he gets this kind of advertising, I could do that on an on-demand show that you get whatever the fuck you want without having to have this intermediary. Yeah. I don't need it.
Anyway, we did really good in our first three segments, sticking to 10 minutes.
Now we fucked up.
We spent like 25 minutes on the last segment. So anyway, we should wrap up. So thanks everybody for listening to yet another edition of Curmudgeon's Corner. We will be back again next week with some new and exciting stuff. In the meantime, as usual, email me at abulsme@abulsme.com. That's ABULSME. With questions, comments, thoughts for additional topics, anything along those lines. Tell your friends to listen and tune in next week. Thank you and goodbye.
Goodbye.
See you, Vaughn.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.